Welcome to Comics.
Episode 215. This week, we talk about
multiversity.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes. See what we're reading next. Send us a message. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast begins.
See the Supergirl trailer first look thing?
Oh, not yet, but I so want to.
Oh, here it is. I didn't watch it. I'm not that interested, to be honest.
She's a manic pixie dream girl.
Oh, well, you know.
So she's like a Zoe Deschanel, except super?
Yeah, exactly. She's
the worst
like
casting.
She's like, what do I wear? And she's like, someone's office. I think her boss is like Callista Flockhart. And she's all mean. So it's like the Devil Wears Prada. And she's like,
So they made the SNL Black Widow trailer into Supergirl TV show.
I did not watch the SNL one.
Oh, you have to watch it. It's really funny. It's funny and very, what am I trying to say? Like, it's not far off the mark, I guess.
Okay.
It's basically The Devil Wears Prada, except with Black Widow.
Oh, God.
Jen, have either of you guys seen Avengers or Age of Ultron yet?
I haven't yet. The terrible Rotten Tomatoes ratings have kept me and Grant away.
Does it really have bad ratings now?
Or let me look. It was pretty bad for a movie that big last time we checked. And I've not been enjoying the Marvel movies lately, except for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, it's 75 or 74.
That's actually pretty low for what that movie should be rated. Because some of it's like genre dependent, right? But the Marvel movies tend to get very, very high ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you do, have you seen it, Andy?
No, not yet.
Well, if you guys watch it, just look at Ultron when he talks.
Oh, I've heard the lips are weird.
His lips. He has lips. He's a robot with lips.
Yeah, well, you know. Why would Tony Stark not develop a robot with lips? Kind of have to, right?
Lips.
Well, I mean, yeah. Ultron kind of designs his own body. Spoiler alert. Yeah. I mean, it's not like there's a design montage.
Okay, I have a question for Jen.
Is it, should you watch Mad Fury Road? The answer is yes.
No. Of course the answer is yes.
David's asking me, I'm asking Jen, Jen's asking David. Yeah, I do want to see that. I really, really do.
Oh, God. Last weekend, we watched Ex Machina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we were thinking about going to watch it, but then we didn't end up going to the movies at all.
It was really good. Okay. It's, I think the trailer is not quite accurate to the tone of the movie. But it's amazing. It's basically like Dweeb falls in love with robot built by Lumber Bro.
Lumber Bro, huh?
Yes. The guy is a total Lumber Bro.
Have you guys heard about this, whatchamacallit? This, I guess it's not really a fad, but this whole concept of the dad bod?
Yes, I've seen that.
No.
I've seen the thing posted. Do you have dad bod?
I guess so. I mean, I'm a dad.
What is it?
It's basically like a lifestyle choice for like bros. It's like, I read the description on Reddit that I read was that it's like if a guy, it's a guy who tries to stay in shape, but sometimes he decides to get drunk with his bros instead of go to the gym. So he has like a little bit of, he's kind of soft, but not unhealthy.
Okay.
Dad bod.
It's like, it's the beer gut with the guns.
Yeah.
Like that combination. That's dad bod. But my dad had that. My dad would go to the gym and only ever work on his arms, and he had the biggest beer gut. It's like, dad. Oh, yeah.
Dad bod.
Try the rower.
Dad bod.
Dad bod. It's the thing. I would have it, but I don't have muscle. I just have the gut.
Yeah, that's me too. Just a little bit. Anyways.
Anyway, you guys ready?
Sure.
Now let's talk about this week's comic.
This week's comic.
This week, we finally read Multiversity by my boy, Grant Morrison.
Are you guys boys? Does that mean, like, you, yeah.
I hang out with Grant the same way I hang out with Jimmy. Jimmy Palmiotti. Yeah.
You guys are Twitter bros.
Yeah, we're pretty bros. I don't even think that Grant Morrison has a Twitter. Which would be the best way to be Twitter bros with Grant Morrison. Yeah. So I'm convinced after reading this comic that Grant Morrison isn't like, I imagine having a conversation with Grant Morrison would be like having a conversation with a philosophy grad student.
Maybe he like that one guy who runs DC, not Jeff Johns.
John Didio.
John Didio.
Didio. Didio.
What is his name? John? Tom? Don? Don Didio?
Don Didio, right?
He was like, hey, Didio. Grant, we want you to write something. And he's like, pitch us something. And Grant was like, what if I write all the comics? And they were like, okay, but can you make it like a 9-issue run? And he's like, yes. This is Multiversity.
That is so apt. Oh, it's Dan Didio.
Dan Didio. Okay. I was close. Okay. Don. Yeah. Close. Dan, I was off by one letter. Dan. But yeah, he's like, Grant, you've written a lot of things. What do you got for me now? And he's like, all of it. He's like, can you get it into 9 issues? Yes, I can. Boom.
Except one of them is like 70 pages.
Well, it's a double issue.
This whole thing is pretty long. I think
some of the comics, like even the like normal, the ones that are called Multiversity, I think they're like 40 pages, weren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how like we always complain, oh, comics are getting shorter and shorter. And then we read something by Grant Morrison, and it's like twice as long.
Well, the thing is, like, I want them
twice as long.
I want them to be longer because I want to read more good comics.
So you didn't.
I
don't
want to read more confusing.
I will
stuff.
Say, like, I actually really enjoyed a few of the issues in this, and I had mixed feelings about it overall. But like some of them, I was actually upset that it wasn't longer because I wanted more of the backstory.
Yeah, which one? So, like, of the other worlds that we saw, which ones did you guys like the most? Not like, they listed all of them in the guidebook, but of the ones that we saw.
So, my favorite one was definitely the Society of Superheroes ones.
Yes.
Like, the one like where Dr. One. Yeah, where Dr. Fate is, like, in charge of the team with the Immortal Man, and they fight alternate reality Vandal Savage.
Yeah.
That was my favorite one, because I just liked the whole premise of that. And the design and everything I thought was really cool. Like costume designs and stuff. Well, you know, like Dr. Fate looked really cool. Yeah. He has the signature helmet, right? But his like, I don't know what that suit is called.
It was cool, whatever it was. It had a really awesome like 50s kinda, noir vibe.
He looked kind of like the Rocketeer almost.
Yeah.
And then the whole like Vandal Savage's flying wing was really cool, and the whole vibe of that issue was awesome, and that is one that I would like to have more of.
I honestly really liked Thunderworld Adventures, the ones with all of the Marvels.
That one was good, one of the better
because
ones too.
I like that it was all really straightforward, and they basically won with like the power of cornbread.
Yeah.
just like, we're going to win by being cheesy.
It was their goodness that won.
And that was just, it, like, in all of the stuff in here that was convoluted and confusing, that issue was just, hey, everybody smile. Remember what comic books were like in the Golden Age? Punch with thunder. You're fucked up. You're dead. Like, it was so beautifully simple and straightforward and just corny and brilliant.
And, like, I got the notion that Dr. Savannah and his kids are the only supervillains in that universe.
Yeah.
Plus the, what did they call the Monster Society?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. I did enjoy that one.
Yeah, and I really like that Savannah has two nerdy kids and one guy who looks like a jock.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's the weird one out. How could I even get...
And I like that Captain
Marvel... even more perfect?
That Captain Marvel Jr. tricked the girl into saying her name by, like, flirting with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mary Marvel's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I actually really... I thought I was going to hate the Overman one with, like, you know, Nazi
Superman. Oh, the
Superman
Masterman Splendor Falls?
It like, opened with Hitler taking a shit, and I'm just like... Really, oh, guys, Grant. you gotta set the tone with this, because, and it felt not just like it was so tropey.
That one reminded me of X-Men when he had Charles Xavier choke another baby out in the womb with an umbilical cord.
Yeah, there's something very tropey to me about showing like Hitler doing something gross or dumb. But then that wasn't it at all. It was, Overman, like, feeling mild emotional turmoil over World War II and, like, whatever version of Jimmy Olsen they had, like, following it. And, mm-hmm. and that one I thought ended too early, because Jimmy Olsen was, like, talking about a future that we don't actually see in the comic, I think. Because yeah. He was, like, he talks about how it sounds like he brings down Overman after, like, finding out more about him in his history, apparently, like, what he did during the war, but then we never find out. So, I don't know. That one actually turned out a lot better than I thought it was going to.
And I like the Freedom Fighters in this one. I know, Andy, you're a big fan of...
I am.
Yeah.
Freedom Fighters, but I thought they were particularly cool here. Especially Human Bomb was, like, awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I really like the Freedom Fighters. Cause if you read, I love when Jimmy Palmiotti did when David Acuna did the Freedom Fighters run. That stuff was great in the corny kind of way. But it was different to see them as the terrorist underdogs here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like different light, like Grant Morrison, as much as I'm loath to give him credit for things, did a really good job of setting up a weird, who is right and who is wrong here dynamic. Because obviously, under Overman, the world is mostly peaceful and prosperous and nice. And honestly, you could make the argument that the Freedom Fighters are a little evil. I mean, they're terrorists, straight up. And for most of the population, it doesn't matter, really, that they're Nazis, I guess, I want to say. Of course, the problem is that they're Nazis and all the terrible things that they did. But... He does an interesting job of setting that dynamic up, at least. But yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's actually interesting because when you have a society that's founded on, like, heavy-duty racism, when you get people rebelling against that and, like, hurting other people, are they doing good or evil? So, it actually raised a couple interesting questions without getting overly weird about it.
Yeah. That's the best Grant Morrison. Raise interesting questions without getting overly weird about it.
Yep.
I mean, that's the line that he dances on, right? The overly weird line.
Yeah. Dances on one side of, I would say.
Sometimes
so biased against you, Grant. I'm sorry.
Sometimes his foot slips off into the overly weird.
Yeah.
And we get stuff like this, like Multiversity. Or sometimes he just falls off the rope altogether and drowns in it, and we get things like The Filth.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
Oh, I was really curious. The other issue I really liked was Ultra. where it was just breaking the fourth wall as hard as it could. And I thought it did it in, like, a reasonable fashion, and I'm wondering if you guys liked it or hated it.
That was one of the issues where I was kind of, I felt kind of meh about it. Like, I agree with you in your, I liked the idea behind it, the breaking the fourth wall as hard as they could, but I found the issue itself to be, like, kind of tedious. I felt that was one of the issues where I had, it was hard for me to get through the whole issue. Because it was just like, it was spins on all, on the same, different spins on the same topic. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think, like, an issue I did have with it was, it didn't seem to go anywhere, like, in terms of action.
Yeah.
But, like, the concept was neat where, like, they didn't even try to hide the fact that they were being super meta. Like, it wasn't pretentious meta. It was just like, yes, we're doing this, and we don't even feel bad.
See, I get a strong whiff of pretentious meta in this. And unfortunately, I get it because Grant has done it better. Like, if you want really good, non-pretentious, meta, fourth-wall-breaking comics, go read Animal Man.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking the same thing. Animal Man is a good example of Grant Morrison breaking the fourth wall and to make an interesting point in a good way. But this Ultra Comics was, I think, too much for me.
I feel like the meta stuff in this Ultra Comics issue is only meta insofar as it tells you as the reader that you're reading it wrong or you're doing it wrong or you're missing the point or you're not understanding the meta statement that I'm trying to make. Like, there's a couple times when Ultra Comics is fighting and the stuff, one of the text boxes is, like, a little forum or, like, post icon, and it says something like, come on, Grant, we've been here before. I've seen this written before. Like, stuff like that. Like, really, this idea again? And when I was reading that, I was thinking that. And I don't know if that's, like, a certain level of meta of Grant acknowledging his critics and saying, fuck it, I'm writing this anyway. But really, what I got out of reading that was, no, you're just getting it wrong. That's not what this is really about. This isn't the same as that time. But really, Grant, I'm reading it. It's the same as that time. And if I didn't get it, it means that you didn't write it right.
See, I totally read it differently with, like, the little... I kind of assumed they were tweets.
Yeah, I read it kind of like that.
I was, like, thinking, oh, you know, he understands that he's doing the bad thing here. Like... I took it as not self-defense, but more like he's joking about his own work and like that it is kind of tropey and goofy and bad and that's okay.
Yeah, I can see that joke, but then this comic cost, what, $3 or $4? And that's real funny, Grant, but I want a good story and not a joke about your writing style. I don't know. Like, either way, this is a problem with me reading Grant Morrison. Either way, I'm going to be a pissy and upset. I don't know. I'm sorry.
And the thing is, like, we know Grant Morrison can write really good stuff. I mean, yeah. All-Star Superman is, like, one of the best comics ever.
Yeah, I love that.
I thought his run on Batman was really good. Animal Man, I think we agree that's pretty good. Yeah, Batman Inc. So... I don't know. Maybe I don't want to say Grant Morrison I would never say he's a bad writer or that he is too this or too that. But I think sometimes I'm going to use the too. He's maybe too self-aware and he wants to show everybody how self-aware he is.
Yeah, I feel like he just needs an editor or a fellow writer, somebody to write with him. To rein him in, maybe. I don't know. And then there's other times where he gets what could be a decent idea, and he kind of overcommits to it. Like the idea of the Earth Me world.
Oh my god, that's the one I hated the most.
Right, same. Like the execution there, I think was brilliant and terrible. Like, the point is supposed to be that this world is the second generation of all of the heroes that you know, and the heroes you know did such a great job of being heroes that the second generation has fucking nothing to do anymore. Nothing at all to do with their day, and everybody's just peaceful and happy, and it's boring as all hell. And the best way to get that point across is to make the story itself boring, but then all you've done is written a boring comic. Like, it's brilliant and terrible at the same time.
Well, more than that, too, the characters were awful. And I don't mean, like, they were poorly depicted. I mean, they were bad people. So, it just common theme that we see more and more with comics writers who are, like, in the generation older than us, being like, when young people get bored, they're little shits and don't do anything productive. They just drink and party and, you know, act stupid. And I know that's kind of, like, also a common rant that, like, that comes back from the other direction, but I don't know, like, I feel like none of those characters felt realistic because they were all just kind of mediocre people. And you think someone there would be trying to do something interesting or good in the world instead of just, like, partying.
And how, like, practicing on some old robot that accidentally almost kills a dude.
Well, they're not even, like, practicing. It's more like Civil War reenactment, except for superhero stuff. They're LARPing, right?
Oh my god, that's so pathetic when you say it like that. Yeah, you're right. Not that LARPing is pathetic, but, like, these are superheroes. They should have things to do. Yeah, and then Kyle keeps bringing up the thing about his girlfriend in the refrigerator, and, like, yeah, he's over that in continuity. I mean, did he never get over that? Like, did he never move beyond that?
Maybe he has nothing else to talk about.
Maybe, I don't. But the problem is the idea for that world is not bad. The idea that, like, we depict every day, we depict these superheroes that are godlike in their abilities, and we show them fighting crime and supervillains, and you know that the good guys win the day. So carry that a bit further, and they don't just win the day, they win the war. And there's no more supervillains, there's no more crime, there's no more anything bad. What happens to the superheroes and the people that are left after that generation moves on? Like, that question and that idea is legitimate and interesting and worth exploring, but please, dear God, not this way.
Yeah, it just, you know, it just felt very one-dimensional to me. I don't, like, if your best friend commits suicide, you don't be like, oh good, it got rid of my technovirus, and then throw yourself a big party. That's, like, not realistic in any way.
Yeah, that was like the worst mechanic too of, like, this comic, the conflict in the comic was who's going to go to the party and who got invited and who didn't get invited. And that's how you solve the crime, by who didn't get invited to the party. Like, so fucking, I don't give two shits about a party. I don't care that it's supposed to matter because you created this whole thing. No, it doesn't. It's stupid. Oh.
Yeah.
But after that, we get Pax Americana, which won, like, a shit ton of awards. What did you guys think of Pax Americana?
There were a lot of parallels to Watchmen. Like, Question was very Rorschach in this.
Yeah, in my head,
that's what it was. I thought this one was one of the stronger issues. This was one of the stronger issues for sure. I wouldn't say it was my favorite, but, it was definitely one of the better ones. I don't really have a lot to say about it. I mean, I thought it was interesting and stuff. I like Frank Quietly's art. You could draw parallels to all the different, I think with the characters in here, you can draw a parallel to the characters from Watchmen. Like, Peacemaker was probably the comedian. Captain Atom, I guess, is similar to Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. I don't know. I thought this one was one of the better ones. That's really all I have to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like this one was, like, if it were a movie, I would say it's high production value, right? Like, it's well written, it's well drawn. I liked the end of it too, where it turns out that so that kid there was like later the president who got, the kid at the end was the president who gets assassinated at the beginning, right? And like, he puts himself up, I guess the concept is for like a sacrifice to draw the nation together. And the whole time he's like, I deserve it. And then it turns out he killed his dad. Mm-hmm. And that actually felt like some of the best character development in all of these issues to me, because it was like a contained story where someone does something and then we're hinted at for the motivation and then we see it and it like came together nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. And that is circular storytelling done well, unlike Multiversity Number 1 and Multiversity Number 2. With the super Dutch stuff.
Well, I mean, I felt like those two issues were like the framing device for everything else, right?
Yeah, I mean, the point that this was a big DC crossover, and the point of this crossover is to reintroduce the multiverse into the continuity, and perhaps undo a little bit some of the New 52 stuff and bring some people back who had previously been unwritten, and just kind of open up storytelling options, which I think is great. I don't know. It's so weird that they felt the need to make this. Like, as much as I don't like the comics of New 52, I really, really praised DC for being like, fuck it, we don't need any uber rationalization for restarting everything. We just want to restart the universe and get rid of all this continuity baggage, and we're just gonna do it, and here's 52 comics and have fun. And like, that worked out great. And I don't need a convoluted Grant Morrison story about why we have a multiverse again. It's just, it feels, the whole reason for this comic's existence feels unnecessary.
Well, the interesting thing, like, you know, DC has done this in many ways, right? I mean, we had Crisis on Infinite Earths back in the 80s, which smushed everything together. Mm-hmm. And then there was Infinite Crisis and Final Crisis and Flashpoint, and then Flashpoint led to this hard reboot where we got the New 52. But then, you know, see, the thing is, I don't think that this is necessarily the way that they are reintroducing the multiverse, because Forever Evil.
They already have Earth 2.
Yeah, Forever Evil. Well, they had Earth 2 and Earth 3 already.
Yeah.
Because Forever Evil came out of Earth 3. That's where the crime syndicate's from. And that's even acknowledged in the guidebook for issue 6 or whatever.
Yeah.
The one with Kamandi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like Kamandi. I like that issue, actually. Now DC has this thing. I don't know what they have a crossover going on right now called Convergence, where it has, I think it has the President Superman in it, and yeah, it has Earth 2 characters. I'm not reading Convergence, so I'm not 100% sure.
I see, but then it also posted on Reddit.
Yeah, actually, I saw one today where Superman was, like, giving a pep talk to Dick Grayson.
Hey, I clicked on that same link.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, so DC is doing Convergence right now, which I think is, I don't see that necessarily this was, like, Multiverse was, like, some kind of spin-off, or I think it's just a thing that Grant Morrison did.
I think it was a kind of complicated way of describing how the multiverse works post Flashpoint. Cause before this, we get Earth 2 and Earth 3, right? But we don't know, like, are there monitors? Is there the orrery of worlds still? Because that was in Infinite Crisis. Like, what about Anti-Monitor? Like, what's the status of this multiverse level, construction of what DC's universe feels like?
Well, they did, at the end of Forever Evil, they showed, there was one panel with Anti-Monitor.
Yeah.
That's so he was there. So they definitely said Anti-Monitor was there, but we didn't get Anti-Monitor in this.
No,
it was the the final monitor fighting against the gentry, right?
Well, no, the gentry was just the I don't was the gentry just? I think the gentry was just the big eye, and then like
the gentry was them as a collective.
Okay, which by the way, oh my god. The worst name, the gentry. Cause then when they do a world, they gentrify it. Like, are you shitting me, Grant? Like, I don't know. It seems like such a loaded, you're trying to make a statement, but you're not really making a statement. You're just kind of picking word cause it kind of sounds neat. Like, I don't know what you're trying to do there. Are you even trying to do something there? If you're not, why pick that word? Like, Grant, why? It doesn't even sound cool. The gentry. Just imagine, like, if the gentry is a villain, I imagine, like, a dude in a top hat with, like, a stick that makes things worth more money.
He also has a monocle.
Yeah, right? Like the guy from Monopoly. What's that guy's name? Shit.
Pennysworth?
Pennybags? Oh, I don't know.
They should have put the egg guy should have had a monocle.
Yes. Oh, well, then it would have been great. I wouldn't have minded so much. It would have made sense then. Like, at least then it would have made sense.
What's funny about the timing of multiversity and convergence is that Marvel is doing Secret Wars again, which is like smashing Marvel together.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that that's what they were doing.
Yeah, that's my, they're like, I don't know if they're like rebooting it like New 52 style, but there's gonna be Secret Wars, and then out of Secret Wars, there's gonna be the like new Marvel Universe.
I'm so tired of this stuff.
Well, here's the thing.
Just give me your story, I don't even care. It sells, I know, sells the comics.
I'm okay with them rebooting continuity. And the reason I'm okay with it is because, you know, it kind of, It gives everybody something new to a certain degree and gives the writers a reason to ditch continuity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People don't necessarily have to, when writers are doing something, they don't have to consider the last 70 years of comics.
Because
fanboys will get upset if things are retconned.
I know.
Now, they might, when they reboot the universe like they did in New 52, sure, people were upset at first, and then nobody cared after a while, and they just kept buying the comics.
Yeah, because they realized that the reboot of continuity wasn't the reason the comics sucked. The comics sucked because they sucked.
They didn't all suck.
They didn't all suck. We've read quite a few that were amazingly good, like Aquaman and,
I liked Justice League. I thought that was okay.
Yeah, that one wasn't too bad. But I don't feel like it's necessary for rebooting continuity. Like, this last weekend, part of the reason this issue is coming out, part of the reason this episode is coming out late, listeners, is because last weekend I was on vacation, so we weren't able to record at our normal time. And while I was on vacation, I was reading Batgirl. The Cameron Stewart run where he takes her and takes Barbara Gordon and instead of being 35, just turns her to 17 with no explanation, whatever. It's just she's 17 now. And they're all teenagers. And Dinah's a teenager in that comic. So they're just all teenagers. And that's fine, whatever. And I posted a picture of myself reading that and somebody asked me, like, what do you think of this comic? And I said, well, it's a little teenagery, you know, just the overall feel of the tone, but you know, overall, it's kind of neat. I'm glad I read it, but I'm glad I didn't add it to my pull list. And they're like, but what did you think about, what did you think about the just magically turning from 35 to 17? And I realized I don't care. Like, I didn't need a reason for her to be turned back in age. I don't need a reason for continuity to change. Like, if this story, if this run that Cameron Stewart's doing with Barbara Gordon being 17 years old is good, I don't care why. I don't care if that fits in with the greater continuity. I don't know. I don't care. And I know there are people who do, but I feel like if the story is good enough, nobody will care.
Well, remember, it's like, remember, Andy, when we went to Comic-Con in 2010 and we went to the DC panel?
Yeah.
And during the Q&A, somebody walked up and asked Grant Morrison how old Batman is.
Yeah.
And Grant Morrison's answer was, why does it matter?
Grant Morrison's answer was, it's a fucking comic book.
It doesn't matter. It's any goddamn
age we want to make him.
Exactly. I mean, these characters, geez, you know, Tony Stark in the Marvel universe is maybe 40 years old.
Yeah.
But he became Iron Man in like the 60s, which means he did it before he was born, or he's actually like 70 years old or something. But yeah. See, the thing is, who cares, right?
Yeah.
Nobody cares. I don't care.
Nobody keeps track of all the advancements that Tony Stark has made for the world and implemented and sold. Like, nobody keeps track of that stuff because it doesn't matter. And just the same way that little stuff doesn't matter, I feel like this big galaxy universe, that stuff doesn't matter. And if you want to bring it in, that's fine. And if you don't want to bring it in, don't. I don't know.
Here's the thing, too, about, like, how it connects to multiversity. I cannot talk tonight. I feel like if multiversity was standalone, without a canon around it, without a surrounding universe, like, it was just someone's strange postmodern work, like, maybe we'd all have more favorable reactions to it, and maybe to Grant Morrison's work in general, because I think an expectation lies around anything that a comic creator makes, that it fits in some way with everything else that's come before. And we're always happy to, like, ignore that when we like the comic. But when the comic is, like, maybe more mixed, or if we're not, like, the biggest fans of it, we're more likely to pick on the fact, too, that, like, maybe, like, it's not a good representation of how the worlds work, or it's not a good explanation, or it's a crazy person explanation. I'm just thinking, like, personally, I don't know what you guys feel about it, but I would have felt like I had an easier time reading it if it existed within, like, its own creative space instead of the whole DC continuity, because then I don't have to think about who these people are and how they connect to each other and who's this version of whom. It's more like, oh, someone's playing with different variations on a character theme and parallel worlds, and I don't know, like, separating this away from everything that came before for me would have made it more enjoyable.
See, but that's what really gets me about this comic.
See,
is
to me, though,
I'll go. If that's what you want to read, really, go read Final Crisis. Because in Final Crisis, Grant Morrison does a decent job of going around the different multiverses and gathering all the Supermen together from each world and having them fight a common enemy. And that's actually done. I mean, it's Grant Morrison, so it's freaky and weird. And you don't really understand what's going on, but he shows you a bunch of different Supermen and variations on the theme, and it's pretty neat. And, like, my thing with this comic is so much of it just feels like recycled Grant Morrison. And then when you're sitting there thinking that it's recycled Grant Morrison makes a meta comment on it. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, Grant, then why did you do it?
I didn't assume that this was in continuity. And the reason I felt that way is, you know, we see familiar versions of all these characters, right? But we don't see any of the in-continuity versions of them. We don't see Earth 2, Flash and Superman. We don't see the Earth 1 versions of them either. The Crime Syndicate, the Earth 3 Crime Syndicate.
Yeah.
I mean, we see, but we don't see any of them taking part in the battle against the Gentry.
Yeah.
So to me, this isn't necessarily in continuity. So in my opinion, this felt like it could be a standalone comic. You know, it never really occurred to me that this was in continuity. So that's why it kind of surprised me, Andy, when you said that you thought this was like a way for DC to kind of like re-reboot, like do a soft reboot of the universe or something.
I guess you're right. I mean, I don't know. There's just so much weirdness and I don't know.
I mean, I don't read enough. I don't think I can make a completely informed decision because I don't read enough of currently released DC stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe this does impact Justice League and the others and stuff. I don't know. But, like I said, I didn't see the regular Clark Kent Superman from Earth 1, you know?
Yeah, I didn't see anybody from Earth 1. Honestly. So,
outside of the guidebook, we didn't see any of them.
Yeah. But speaking of the guidebook, I thought it was one of my favorite parts of this thing when they went through each world and explained what they all were and showed all the different ideas for all the different multiverses. And I'm like, that's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's nice to have it laid out like that.
Because let me go through and be like, okay, if I ever see a story done in Earth 11, I want to read that. That's the Rule 63 gender swapped universe. Because the Aquawoman from there was badass, and I want to see more of that shit. Like, I don't know. It's just like, what would it be like?
Yeah, I like her, the line when they're fighting, Super Judge. And she says, the most powerful, the dominant or most powerful form of life on my world is me. And then she like shoots him with the lightning channeled through the trident. That was pretty badass.
Yeah. She's like, the reason there ain't no Rule 63 Superman here is because I'm the Superman, bitch. Mm-hmm. Suck it. That was great. And then the other one I really liked was Earth 18, The Old West. That one was great.
You know, I like that one too, but that's just because I feel like Super Chief is a really underused character in the DC universe.
And Jonah Hex is probably there too. I bet you that's where Jonah Hex is.
Super Chief like just appears in the background and stuff. Like he was in like half an issue during 52, and he was in the background after the Hannibal Lecter Savannah is shot, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, give me more Super Chief, you guys.
What did you guys think of that with the guy, Savannahs?
I thought that was hilarious. Because I think Savannah is just this like clown of a character. So like the snake, I didn't understand the thing with the snake Savannah like throwing up.
Cause the
another person, what was it that he barfed up?
So
was,
like, there's the planet with all the like little mini like chibi Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out they were all robots and the Savannahs had summoned a little one like the mini Savannah had tricked it into coming to their lair so that the snake Savannah would have something to eat.
But then it was a robot. Okay, I forgot that he ate him there.
Yeah.
I was like, where is this robot limb coming from? And then I was just like, I guess I got Morrison.
Matt, I did not like the Savannahs. No? I hate it when they take a really lame villain and they're like, this is one of the big bads of this run.
Well, they used Savannah before in 52.
I know, and I didn't appreciate that either. You know, it's like taking Stiltman and being like, this guy's nefarious plot on his stilts is the reason everything bad is happening. It's just like, no. Someone could have figured this out and stopped it.
He's so tall that the Earth is doomed.
Yeah, right? It's like...
He stilted himself into another multiverse.
But with Savannah, it's like, you think someone would have been like, you know, he's like a freaking Scooby-Doo villain where they unmask him at the end and they're like, oh, it was you, Dr. Savannah. It's just, he's so lame and he always should be caught.
You meddling Marvels. Sorry, I totally talked over Jen there.
It's fine. It was worth
it. No, it was a better joke. Oh, man. But it's like, you think someone would have stopped him or figured it out. Like, I feel like, just from the tone of everything, the likelihood that all the Savannas were able to get together and, like, start wrecking the multiverse is, like, the probability of that is so low. Yeah. He's so lame.
Well, Savannah is a genius, and enough Savannas could probably put together a halfway decent plan.
You get enough Savannas in a room on typewriters, and one of them will write Shakespeare. That's the saying, right?
The thing, though, like, his main character trait is loser. Like, he's destined to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, so the main, let me see if I can wrap my head all the way around this. The main meta commentary of this comic in the framed narrative is that Super Judge is you, the reader, as personified in the comic via Ultra Comics as a character. And you as Super Judge are the one who ultimately decides, via the Gentry, who is an allegory for DC Comics publishing and editorial. You as the reader decide which universes thrive and which universes get erased. And you as the reader, through DC, are the open hand. Like, the editor and the publisher are the open hand of the Gentry who create and destroy comics and create and destroy this universe that you as Super Judge get to read and enjoy and ultimately preside over and participate in occasionally.
When you are at the comic book store and you reach out with your empty hand to pick up a comic, when you pick up that copy of Justice League on Earth 1, it destroys all the other universes?
No, it just...
Because you're not reading them?
You are giving life to that comic. And if nobody brings their open hand to said comic, that comic is erased from the continuity eventually. Or removed, or like, just the commentary is you are Super Judge and your decisions are what works here. But then what I don't get in the allegory is how Super Judge is evil because of a Rubik's Cube. I don't know.
I don't think that part was part of the meta commentary.
But if you're gonna make a meta commentary and you're gonna make a character allegory, then you gotta fucking stick with it, because then it gets weird like that, and as Super Judge, I'm sitting there like, okay, so Grant, are you telling me that when I don't read a comic that other people think is good, then I'm an asshole? I turn into the villain? Like, I'm sorry, Grant, I don't have enough money to buy every comic.
What he's saying is that if you don't like any comics, you should just do a Rubik's Cube. Until you get bored, and then come back to the comics.
Yeah. Speaking of getting bored, you guys ready to rate this?
Oh my god. Sure.
That was a mean segue.
I'm not bored with the conversation. I'm just...
No, I meant it was mean to Grant Morrison.
Okay.
But I think you're okay with that, aren't you?
I think we've... Okay, I'm going to go first. I think we've thoroughly discussed and decided that there are things about this that are great and there are things about this that are bad. And the things that are bad are Grant Morrison-y, and the things that are good are Grant Morrison. And... like we've said, he walks that line. And if this is the kind, if you are a philosophy grad student, you will love the shit out of this comic. If you are an English undergrad, you will love the shit out of this comic. And like, really, for that audience, have fun and enjoy the shit out of some Grant Morrison. But me, I'm going to give this, oh god, what am I going to give it? Cause I don't want to be unfair to the art, cause the art throughout was really good. Even in Ultra Comics, which I didn't enjoy, had my favorite page of the comic when Ultra Comics is being formed out of the CMYK ink. That panel and the coloring, oh, it was great. It was my favorite panel in the whole fucking thing. And it was in one of my least favorite issues. And the Frank Quitely was great in Pax Americana and Thunderworld. The art style was perfect for the narrative and the story. And I'm going to give this a 2 on the back of all of the things that are done really, really well. But generally, I feel like I wasted a chunk of my life reading this. I kind of want some of it back. Like I was saying earlier with Batgirl, it's not my thing, but I'm not sad that I read it. I'm kind of sad that I read this instead of other things that were on my shelf. So, yeah, 2. Jen?
So, this is kind of a weird comic for me. I I had to turn off my, like, analytical brain to read this. I didn't look too deep into it. I was just like, we'll go with the flow and see what happens. And from that perspective, there were some issues that I really enjoyed. I do have to say, like, Frank Quietly was freaking on top of his game with Pax Americana.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's that scene where the question comes into the room, and the whole room is drawn out in each frame. But then different frames depict different times, not just within how the question is moving around the room, but also, like, earlier in the story. And it's just like he, in one static depiction of a room, has depicted, like, time movement throughout two different points in time. It was really clever. It just, that is how you masterfully work with comics frames. Like, so, I mean, there's stuff like that that's just utterly brilliant. I actually enjoyed some of Morrison's meta commentary. I kind of liked it that he poked fun at himself. But I don't know. I feel like the moment I try to think too much about this, I'm going to feel fairly disappointed. I mean, I spend a fair amount of my time trying to think deep thoughts about comics. and I don't know if this one for me would hold up to some of the other stuff I've read.
Yeah.
This is so hard to rate. As like a giant trade, I'm gonna also give it a 2. Like some of the vignettes were really nice, but an incomplete vignette does not make for a really good comic. So.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Vignettes, because then you can just not read the just skip it. Which I'm gonna go back to my rating because. Like, that's why it gets a 2. The idea, Grant, the idea is great. But please write it better next time. More interesting or something, I don't know. David?
Alright, I guess I'm gonna be the outlier here and give it a 5. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna give it a 5.
I was about to shit a brick.
I'm actually gonna give it a 3, like, though.
Turtle-headed and everything.
This is really hard to rate. And I'm trying to rate it based on, like, how do I think another person will enjoy this? And the truth is, I have no fucking clue. But I think I enjoyed enough of it. Like, I kind of liked the framing issues, Multiversity 1 and 2, and I liked, Thunderworld Adventures, I liked Society of Superheroes, I liked Pax Americana. I think I liked enough of it to, I enjoyed reading enough of the issues, like the experience of reading them, that I will give it a 3. I don't know if I would immediately recommend it to people. I think if somebody said, hey Dave, should I read Multiversity? I would be like, here's the thing. And then I would be like, gonna go into more detail. But I think it was slightly better than average, but not much. So I think I'm gonna give it a 3.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
That's fine. That's what we ask for here. This is your opinion, David.
Well, that's what you're getting.
Okay, good.
So get on my back.
Okay, I will. You guys ready for trivia? Yeah, trivia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Blech.
Trivia.
All right, trivia. Once again, brought to you by Patreon. Become a patron. Patreon.com/welcometocomics. Give us money, please. David needs a new microphone. Can you guys tell? David needs a new microphone. And well, I can give it to him as soon as I buy a new microphone.
Yeah, see, I haven't bought a new microphone because Andy said he was going to give me his old one. But I might just give in and buy a new one.
No, I swear I'll do it. I promise I'll do it. Next time you come over for game night, when everybody else goes and eats, you can take me to buy a new fucking microphone. All right, David. You're going to ask me first. I am up. I have 1 point. I'm in the lead with my 1 point. David has -1. Jen has -4. I'm the only guy in the positive. Oh, yeah. But you got a question for me.
All right, so let me refresh my memory. Am I going to give you the question first or the topic of the question?
You give me the topic, and I bet points, and then you give me the question.
All right, so the topic of this question. I'm kind of, you know, with the, all the, you know, the big hullabaloo about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I decided this would be a, this topic would be an interesting one. So the topic of your question, Andy, is Thanos.
Ooh, oh man.
The Mad Titan.
Oh, I can't, I came into this so ready to just bet five and say fuck it because I'm in the lead. But I know like nothing about Thanos.
Oh shit.
Two. No. Balls of the wall. Three. Fuck it. Three.
Okay. Here you go. Here's your question. Ready? So I'm going to give you the question and then the four possible answers and you pick the one.
Okay.
So this is reference to Thanos in the comics, not a Marvel Cinematic Universe Thanos.
Okay.
So what offshoot of humanity does Thanos belong to? Yeah. So the possible answers are A, Eternal, B, Inhuman, C, Deviant, and 4, Atlantean.
What was A and C again?
Sorry, I think I said A, B, C, and then 4. 4.
It was Eternal?
I'll go over all of them again.
Okay.
A is Eternal, B is Inhuman, C is Deviant, and D is Atlantean.
Okay, it's not Inhuman and it's not Atlantean, so it's either Eternal or Deviant, and I don't think he's an Eternal. The Eternals are like, or am I thinking of the Celestials? The dudes with the giant bodies and the heads like Tester, Zeron the Tester. I think that's a Celestial. Oh, I'm gonna say C, Deviant.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
That is incorrect.
No, oh, ball sack!
He is an Eternal.
God damn it.
But Indeed. It's kind of a tricky question. Because although he is the child of Eternals, the reason he looks purpley, looks like a purple avocado, is because he has remnants of deviant DNA in his body.
Oh, that's like cheaty.
It's not cheaty.
No, I know. God damn it. Oh, I thought I had that. Yeah, I thought I had that one. Okay. I'm now.
Okay, my wife was standing next to me while we did that question, and she's like waving at me to tell you that she got it right. But I think the reason she got it right is because I had the answer selected on my screen, so I would not forget.
Can you hear her? She listens to your lectures, David. She listens when you explain things.
Well, that's part of that's one of my favorite things about going to see a comic book movie with her is that I get to explain everything in the car ride home.
Right? Same thing with my wife. She's like, so who was that guy? What was this thing? What was that? I'm like, oh, baby, I got some things to tell you. Let's go to lunch. It's story time.
Okay. So, Andy, you are now -1. Welcome to my world, sir.
Yep. All right. Now I got a question for Jen. You ready, Jen?
Never. But yes.
The topic is 52. DC's missing here. This is the 52 run with,
God.
That we read. We did 4 episodes on 52.
Yeah, it took 4 episodes. I can't remember shit from that.
Oh, but it was
all
so
you
good.
Have to do is remember all the things that happened in 52 individual issues of comics. You got this.
Okay.
Okay.
How many points? You're at -4, by the way.
I'm going actual balls to the wall and say 5.
Oh shit. I'm glad I didn't do that because I would have been really bad. Okay. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background so that you can kind of have a memory. Remember in this run of 52, Lex Luthor, created the superhero serum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then through that, he was kind of the villain. So the question I have is, which hero fought Lex Luthor and brought him to justice during 52? Was it Superman, Steel, Supernova, or Booster Gold?
It was not Booster Gold.
Okay.
I don't think it was... Supernova.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Oh.
Was it Steel?
It was Steel.
Damn it!
It was Steel. Was that your backup answer?
Yeah, because I remember the conversation Steel had with his like teenage daughter,
his daughter
about
who
it.
Took the serum.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, but then something happened and he didn't fight Lex Luthor at the end. That is the meaning of balls to the wall now. I'm negative 9.
You're negative 9. And we're going to put a cap on it. We're going to say negative 10 is the lowest you can go.
Woohoo!
Keep everybody in the game. All right, Jen, you got one for David?
I do. Okay, so this one is about Marvel authors.
Okay. Well, if I go balls to the wall, you know what? So I'm going to go with, let's go with 3, actually. I'm not going to go all the way to the wall with my balls.
Okay. So, who created the longest run on the Fantastic Four? Ooh. Outside of Lee and Kirby issues? And your potential answers are A, John Byrne, B, Len Wein? Vine?
Ween.
Ween.
I think it's pronounced Len Wein.
Really? Okay. Yeah, Len Wein. C, Marv Wolfman, or D, Roy Thomas.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. There's 3 good possible answers in there.
Yeah, and see, like, my favorite Fantastic Four run is not on the list. Because his run wasn't that long. I think it was, like, 30 issues or something. Okay, so you said it was Len Wein, Marv Wolfman, Roy Thomas.
And John Byrne.
John Byrne. Man, I... Shit. So these are... I'm pretty sure these are all Silver Age runs. Or maybe Bronze? Because I don't think any of them wrote this in the 90s. But they were definitely after the Lee Kirby run. Len Wein is famous for creating Wolverine. I don't think that has anything to do with this. But in the 80s, he was writing The Incredible Hulk.
You gotta work through all these.
Because that's where Wolverine appeared in. He was... No, not the 80s. 70s. 70s is when Wolverine was introduced.
See, and these points matter, because you're ahead of me right now.
Because he was in Giant Size X-Men number 1.
But if you get this wrong, then I'm still...
After freaking Incredible Hulk. So... You know what, I'm just going to kind of guess, and I'm going to go with Roy Thomas.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Sorry, apparently it is John Byrne.
Fuck. Oh. That was tough. There were 3,
was
like...
That was a hard...
Those were all pretty legitimate answers in there.
Yeah. I tried to balance that one with, like, it's hard, but then you know Marvel, so...
Yeah, no, I think it was that. I think that was, like, a legit question. I'm not gonna make any complaints about that.
Okay, wait, how many points did you bet again?
3.
3? Oh, thank God.
I don't even remember, now that I think about it, I don't even know if Roy Thomas wrote Fantastic Four.
So apparently...
I know he wrote Avengers.
I guess Byrne had a 5-year run on Fantastic Four from 81 to 86.
That's hardcore.
And neither of us knew.
Apparently, we need to read his stuff.
Shit.
Like, you know.
We've read quite a bit of John Byrne. Happenstantially.
Apparently, not as Fantastic Four.
Hero 5 years, and we haven't read any of it. Actually, we might have. We did a Fantastic Four group. What did we do for Fantastic Four?
Well, we did Lee Kirby because. Didn't we do. We did Galactus. Oh, we read his... He did Dark Phoenix. With Chris Claremont.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, no, he drew... Oh, sorry, Byrne drew... He drew it.
Okay. No, we didn't do that. Because we did the Mark Waid, and then we did Jonathan Hickman, and... Oh, who was the last one?
Mark Waid, did we do his... Did we do his Submariner run? Did we do John Byrne's Namor?
I think we did do Namor. Yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah. So we've done quite a bit of John Byrne on the show.
Oh, and Armor Wars. Armor Wars was him.
Yeah. John Byrne.
Oh,
is
really?
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah, okay.
Well, he's been
Armor
around
Wars
since...
was interesting.
Yeah. We did, but we didn't I don't think we read his Fantastic Four. Not that that's, you know. Well, anyways, authors is like one of my weaker sections of the things. But
it's all right. You know, none of us would have gotten that one.
It's legit. I'm not trying to say the question was like unfair or anything. That's a legit question. So, all
right.
Well, we all fucking failed this one.
Woohoo!
That's true. Let's get the scores. Find out where we all are.
Andy, -2. David, -4. Jen, -9. Oh, yeah. Yes.
So next time I will be going balls to the wall.
Yeah, because fuck it, really. I mean,
because that's the only way for me to get into the positives again.
Next time, if you hit 5 and you win, that puts you at +1. So I need to make 3 to tie you. Assuming I got it right. Otherwise, I get -5. And Jen might as well just bet 5, because if she gets it wrong, she only loses 1. If she gets it right, she gains 5.
And if I get 2 right, then I'm back in the positive. So,
yeah. I mean, fuck it, right? So, that wraps it up for, what do we call this arc? The rest of 2014? Oh, God, we're already in, like, May, though.
Honestly, it's because we were waiting for this to finish. But I have no idea what we're reading next, so surprise me.
So, next up, we're doing 3 episodes on The Tick.
That's awesome.
Next week, we're going to read The Tick Omnibus Volume 1, Sunday through Wednesday by Ben Edlund, collecting Tick 1 through 6. After that, we're going to watch an animated episode of The Tick. We're going to watch The Little Wooden Boy in the Belly of Love. Sorry, guys, I didn't put in the notes what episode or season this was, but it's the one titled The Little Wooden Boy in the Belly of Love. And then we're going to finish up with the live action, The Tick, with Arthur Interrupted.
I'm excited because I've never watched the live action Tick, but I love Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, everybody I know likes The Tick and has fond memories of The Tick. I have zero exposure to The Tick. I know what he is, and I know the phrase, was it Mighty Blue Justice?
Did you not watch the cartoon, the Saturday morning cartoon?
No. I have no exposure to The Tick, so I am super psyched for this because
that was like one of my first. That was one of my first experiences with like a surreal cartoon, because man, that show got fucking weird sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the one that I picked is one of those weird ones.
I'm pretty sure it is, because I think the little wooden boy is that. Tick goes to like an arts and crafts seminar and he creates the little wooden boy. Anyway,
next week, The Tick Omnibus Volume 1, Sunday through Wednesday, Ben Edlund, Tick 1 to 6. Psyched for that. Until then, goodbye.
Confession time. I did not realize that like Thunder, whatever his name is, the Thunderer, Thunderlord, was supposed to be Black Thor. Never made the connection.
Okay, I'm gonna leave this call.
Okay.
I'm not gonna hang up the call. I'm just gonna say leave conversation. Okay.
Okay.
And then call me again in 10 seconds. Okay, bye.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
How's this? Is it any better?
It sounds a little bit different, but it is better because it's not scratchy at all.
But does it sound okay?
Yeah, it sounds just fine. Yeah.
All right.
Did you not realize, Andy, that you were, like, just sitting there counting?
No, I totally thought you weren't in the call still.
No, I was just sitting there listening to you count.
Okay. Where were we?